ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of Politics Now. And sometimes it can be hard to cut through all the noise from the Canberra bubble. But on the Politics Now podcast, bursting it wide open is our core business. I'm joined by the brightest minds at the ABC to break down the poly-speak and have a chat about what's actually going on behind the scenes. It's called Politics Now, and you can find it on ABC Listen.
This week, Pauline Hanson said, again, she could become Prime Minister at the next election. So could she? Or will her recent European tour and string of controversial comments on anything from immigration to domestic violence be starting to turn people off? Today, Tony Barry, a former Liberal Party strategist and director at Redbridge Group, on what voters are saying and why Pauline Hanson is now running the political agenda. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Tony, the amount of attention Pauline Hanson has received in the past week is extraordinary on mainstream media, on social media. And, well, as they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Is that true here, though?
Well, I think see all of the above. There is certainly always a political reward for running the agenda. And whether you agree or disagree with her positions on things, she is running the agenda. She's the most dominant political force in Australia right now. The risk for her, and all these propositions are a risk versus reward proposition, is that she's offering policy prescriptions, whereas previously she was just identifying grievance, and she's been exceptionally effective from a political point of view at identifying grievance. But when you start offering policy prescriptions, you give your opponents a bullseye to hit.
All right, well, we'll come to the policy aspect in a moment, but of course, this all came off the back of Pauline Hanson's trip to the UK and Europe, which created great controversy, you know, from chatting with the far-right convicted criminal Tommy Robinson, her comments about the White Australia policy, being pictured with Gina Reinhardt, of course, at a ritzy hotel. It just came flooding in, didn't it? It was non-stop.
Yeah.
And it still hasn't stopped.
Fresh from her tumultuous tour of Europe, Pauline Hanson returns to clean up a mess in her own backyard.
One Nation leader Pauline Hanson says she doesn't regret being interviewed by controversial far-right commentator Tommy Robinson.
One Nation leader Pauline Hanson is facing widespread backlash following comments describing domestic violence as a two-way street.
One Nation party leader Pauline Hanson has today declared she's ready and willing to be Prime Minister.
Well, I think, again, risk versus reward. In our research to date, we have found that her relationship with Gina Reinhardt isn't costing her votes. And when you prompt them, most people hadn't heard about the gift donation of the plane. But when you prompt them with that piece of information, they actually sort of say, well, it's great. It's great that an outsider is getting the sort of baubles and rewards that insiders get. You know, but I think with all these things, there is a threshold where suddenly she starts looking like an insider and not an outsider. And so she needs to be very careful of that, I would think.
But what about the funding of that trip? When she got back, she appeared at this business breakfast that was hosted by the West Australian newspaper. She was asked about who funded the trip, not the taxpayer, she said.
Will taxpayers be footing that bill for that trip, or will you be putting Mrs. Reinhardt's name on the register of interest when that time comes?
Chris, look straight at my eyes. It didn't cost the taxpayer 1 cent for my trip overseas, not 1 cent.
Does the typical voter care who paid for that trip, or do they just really not?
That has been a response in focus groups that we've done of One Nation voters in North Queensland, and they did go to that proposition. It's not costing taxpayers, so what do we care?
Right.
But as I said, I think there will be a threshold where suddenly they will care. One person in the focus group said, she might start becoming like a puppet, with Gina Rinehart being the puppeteer. Now, that wasn't what I'd call a latent response from the majority of One Nation voters in the focus group, but it shows an emerging or developing sentiment, which I think if dialed up and repeated might be the sort of thing where she starts losing some vote share. But I think one of the great mistakes a lot of the political and media class are making at the moment is just presuming that the orthodoxies of politics still apply, and they really don't anymore, and they especially don't apply to One Nation, because there's a lot of things which are holding up her vote which aren't related to her ideas or her offerings to the electorate. It's the grievance politics, and those sentiments aren't going away anytime soon.
My colleague Sarah Ferguson at 7:30, she quizzed Barnaby Joyce about all of this, and of course most people would have seen parts of that interview by now, particularly when he yelled at his dog. Leader,
but are you really comfortable with where she is taking you?
I think, sit down! Sorry, it's a dog.
Now, of course, that then went off on social media. Is any of that actually harmful for Pauline Hanson or Barnaby Joyce at this point?
I don't think so. And Barnaby is many things, but he's a consummate media performer, and he knows how to get publicity, and he knows how to play to his base. When it comes to his base, he's actually very good at sort of providing them content which they devour. And I must confess, when I saw that clip go viral, I mean, I just saw that as him playing to his base. He just recognised that was great content to be shared amongst One Nation voters. And, you know, we did a poll recently about the favourability of the ABC as an institution. Amongst One Nation voters, it was net minus 26. So One Nation voters aren't really engaged with the ABC. So any sort of content that he provides of him sort of, you know, seem to be disrespecting or taking the mickey out of the ABC would be, you know, joyously shared by One Nation supporters.
I have to apologise for this dog, which has decided to bail up.
Don't worry about the dog. Just answer the question.
Don't be rude. Don't be rude. Otherwise, this interview will come to a grinding halt, Sarah.
So yeah, but I mean, really, Sarah Ferguson, what she was really trying to get to the bottom of with Barnaby Joyce was whether or not Pauline Hanson was crossing any red lines for him.
Yeah, and that's obviously, judging by some of his statements, which are not completely aligned with hers, they seem to be on different hymn pages of the MAGA playbook. And I think, you know, he has talked about trying to make inroads into the outer suburbs or the capital cities. Whilst One Nation have got a decent-ish primary vote in some of those outer suburban seats, they're not at the moment any real threat of picking them up from Labor. And I think he's very cognizant of the electoral map. And if they're going to be more competitive in some of those seats, you know, Hanson's views need to be sort of moderated.
Well, Tony, Pauline Hanson at this business breakfast we mentioned before in Western Australia, I mean, she was saying, yeah, she could be Prime Minister after the next election.
If I was ever in that position, which could happen at the next election, to take on the position of being Prime Minister of this country, I could do it. I have no doubt about that.
Can she get that sort of support, do you think, in the cities? She might get it in the bush, but can she get it in the cities? Particularly when she's making comments on Brisbane Radio, 4BC, of course, about domestic violence. You know, these highly controversial comments all the time.
Well, it is wrong, but it's also a two-way street. But I'm not saying that it's just men and women can lose their cool as well.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult to see at the moment. The last MRP we did, which is a seat-by-seat breakdown, like-for-like data, so it's imperfect, but it gives a very good indicative read. It did have One Nation at around 50 seats-ish, out of 150. It had the coalition on 12, which is catastrophic, and it had Labor with a bare majority. That was in a median seat range. So they've got a lot of ground to cover if they are going to sort of form government or be a government with a minority coalition support. But at the moment, it's just difficult to see them getting into that urban territory, and most of Australian electorate is urban seats.
Mm. All right, well, Tony, as you alluded to before, the more publicity that Pauline Hanson receives, the more scrutiny really she is coming under. The more policy detail she puts out there, the more scrutiny. And some voters might not like what they're hearing. As the former Labor MP Bill Shorten said, also on 7:30, the past week could really give some voters pause for thought.
I think some of the people who are looking to her now are sick of the system and they're hurting, but I think they would be perturbed by, dusting off the bones of a white Australia policy. I think that'll give people pause for thought.
I think Bill is right, but when you're talking about what's underpinning the One Nation vote, there's a lot of mood sentiments that we test and track regularly for the Australian Financial Review. And the common one is right direction, wrong track, which we ask, is Australia heading in the right direction or the wrong direction? Mm. At the moment, it's around 54% wrong direction. So a majority of Australians think we're heading in the wrong direction. Mm. We also ask, and it's come out of qualitative research, where respondents, soft voters in marginal seats say, I don't think my children will have it as well as I did. So we tested that. Do you think the next generation will be better off, worse off, or the same as their parents' generation? 63% said the next generation will be worse off than their parents. So that's an entrenched negative mood sentiment out there, a protracted one. And that's really underpinning a lot of One Nation support. And another theme in focus groups that's come up is, when you're talking about the federal political system in general, they say just burn it all down. Mm. 15% said burn it all down and start again. Of the One Nation voters, 35% said burn it all down and start again, and another 49% said it needs major change. So that speaks to the One Nation voter, like 84% of them want to burn it all down or want major change. And when we ask One Nation voters, which is now, over a quarter of the electorate, why are you voting One Nation? Yes, some of it is immigration. Around 15% of those voting One Nation say it's because of immigration. But the biggest share of the plurality of voters is a rejection of the two-party system. They feel that the current political model has failed them, and they see Hanson as their wrecking ball against a system that no longer works for them.
Tony, what about the major party's response then to One Nation? At the Labor Party conference, the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, not mentioning the party's name, but he did take quite a big swipe at populist politics.
All those attention-seeking culture wars imported from overseas, all those trips around the world to talk Australia down, cannot disguise the fact that none of them have anything new or anything positive to offer our country.
Does that work, though, just having a go?
No, I think both major parties need to define the risk.
Mm.
And I don't really understand what their strategy is at the moment, because there's a bag of votes on the table there. 25% of the electorate, at least, which the major parties can eat into their territory. So I don't know why they're pussyfooting around. What they do need to do is define the risk of Hanson. Now, both major parties are struggling to understand the One Nation voter profile. They're misdiagnosing a lot of the problems and sort of seeing it as just immigration related. And there's a failure of articulating hope for the future from both major parties. They want to see something dramatic in terms of policy offerings. And there's that despair, that entrenched pessimism in the electorate, that the major parties need to overcome.
Well, Tony, we're still around 2 years out from an election. What do you think? Can Pauline Hanson maintain this sort of momentum, or is there a risk she could become, overhyped? Barnaby Joyce has actually warned against that, against flying too close to the sun.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to depend on the major parties and how they respond over the next 2 years. I think the floor of the One Nation vote is a lot higher than people think. At the moment, they're polling at least a quarter of the electorate. I suspect that even if they make a lot of missteps along the way and there's better performance from the opposition and better performance from the government, we might see them eating into Labor territory, but I don't think their floor is going to be anything less than the mid to low teens. I don't think we're going to see a 6 and 8% vote share like they got at the last election. I don't think their floor is going to be anything less than 15%, barring any, you know, catastrophic misstep by Pauline Hanson.
Tony Barry is a former Liberal Party strategist and director at the Redbridge Group. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily. We'll be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.